Instead, you got Fish and Frank, Robert in a chair across from me, and our special guest appearance today, guest today. Is that what it is, guest today? Yes, it is. Is Mallory and Andrew, and Mallory and Andrew, and they have a business which is actually quite unique. They do big fish from land. And you can go out and bring the whole family and get up close and personal with all these big fish. Big fish fishing off the beach is kind of becoming a monster idea here. This is Mallory. Say hi, Mallory.
Hi there.
Okay. And let's see. I'm not sure what's going on here. Nothing seems to be working. There's supposed to be an audience over here cheering, but I guess our applause button is off. So anyway, we'll figure that out in a little while. I don't know what's going on. Andrew, the Tarzan of the beaches. Say hi, Andrew.
What's going on, everybody?
Okay. Hey, good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Yes. Okay. Somebody else say something. I'm dying over here.
All right.
I'm dying. I need help.
Well, the idea behind the big fish fishing, you know, there's a couple species in particular that we target down here in Florida from shore, and especially our area. One is obviously the sharks, which can be targeted in pretty much any ocean, gulf, beach area, but we also have a lot of Goliath grouper, also known as Jewfish, that can be also targeted from
shore.
How
politically incorrect? Do you know people died with that? No, wait a minute. That wasn't them, was it?
No, it was Goliath that killed
David
them.
Beat Goliath.
Yeah.
I mean, but now Goliath gets to beat David. It's all cool.
Yeah.
They're actually called Jewfish because they are the largest kosher fish that are protected and you can't eat.
The meat on them is so white, clean. It's white and blue. It's so clean it looked kosher, and that's how they got the name. And then it went on. And then somebody with nothing to do in his life. Can you imagine how much your life must just be boring to actually go about and have an issue with the name of a fish?
We get the question all the time on the beach. Why are they called that?
Because the meat was so white, it looked kosher. It's such a perfect eating fish. Back in the 80s, we used to eat them all the time. They're great eating fish. But anyway, got sharks, Goliath grouper, and tarpon. Those are the three that you guys really like to go after,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah. Tarpon off the beach are usually winter time for us. Our tarpon season is opposite of the boaters, which kind of works out well for us. They're not in our way. We're not in theirs.
Well, a little bit, they're in your way.
Yeah, a little.
I mean, you had instances where they've come along and like 30 feet off the beach and, you know, snagged your lines and stuff. And you're like, what the heck are these people thinking?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what fishery you're in. There's always going to be idiots.
Yeah,
let's
that's
be
true.
Realistic.
There's always going to be that one guy waving to you in his boat as he drives by, cutting you off.
Yeah. Hi.
He doesn't know any better. So.
You guys are fishing here? Is the fishing good while your lines are being wrapped up in his propeller and everything's going on? So, but this is Fish and Frank over here, and we got Robert in a chair across from me, and Andrew in the guest seat, and Mallory in the other guest seat. We've had to add to our studios here today because we have Mallory and Andrew, and we're going to be talking to them, and we're going to be combining big, huge sharks, sand, beach, I mean, kayaking, all these different stuff. Robert, what do you think about this new craze with the big fish fishing off land?
I think it's got a lot of pros and cons to it. I mean, the phenomenal part is being able to catch a fish that's anywhere from your size to several hundred pounds from the beach, which is absolutely
You must mean
amazing.
Like from my size to several hundred pounds? I'm several hundred pounds.
Okay.
Yes, several.
Right. Okay.
More than one.
Details.
Yeah, details.
Catching a fish from 100 pounds plus from shore.
Yeah, I don't think Mallory even cracks a smile when it's less than 100 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what's the name of your charter company? You guys do charters from land.
We do.
And what's the name of your company?
Big Bully Fishing, bigbullyfishing.net.
And Big Bully Fishing is because Mallory's about 4 foot nothing and likes to wrestle these things, but she's got Tarzan for a husband. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Well, it's Big Bully Charters. Oh my gosh, and the crowd just goes crazy with that. There's our studio audience. I think the applause sign just turned on. You never know with these guys. Shh, quiet, everybody. Wave a hand, and they're gone. it's just amazing how that works. I like having an audience that's so well in control. So anyway, but you guys, they can bring the whole family with them, like mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and they all come out to the beach. It's just one price. And what do you guys do?
Basically, you just show up with whatever you want to sit on, eat, or drink, and we provide all the bait, tackle. And then from there, we kayak baits out. You know, we set the hook, and then...
Okay, we'll get into it, but this is all done right from land, right from some of the beaches, like, and it's beautiful sand beaches, and you got sunsets and the water and the dolphins and everything going crazy on there. And but we're going to come back on our next segment and kind of get in detail about what you guys do with Mallory and Andrew, Big Bully Charters. We got Robert in the chair across from me. This is Fish and Frank over here in the chair. Not really sure why I'm here. I think they just couldn't get anybody else to do it. Hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and Robert, what kind of species, I mean, this whole beach craze is getting, you know, just going off the hook. What kind of species are out there to do this with?
Yeah, I mean, anywhere else in the world, you know, they've got different species to target, but usually when you associate the United States with beach fishing, it's usually like stripers and bluefish and even redfish in certain areas. But the thing that makes it really unique here is that we've got several species of very large sharks. We've got Goliath grouper, also known as Jewfish, and tarpon, all of which can be caught from here, and they all start at around 100 pounds and go way up from there. So that kind of makes it very, very much more diverse as far as the crazy species that you're going to get, because literally you get 4 to 6 different types of sharks in any fishing episode from the shore. So it makes it really, really cool versus other areas. It's maybe one species of shark or one species of fish only.
Okay. Now, Mallory, you're just like crazy into fishing, right?
Yeah, I love it.
You're just, this is everything you like to do. Andrew, sitting at the house, and what happens to you?
Never fails. Usually about an hour and a half before sunset, she'll start getting an itch out of nowhere. Even though she's promised me that I get to take a couple days and relax, all of a sudden, I'll be loading 400 pounds of gear in the back of the truck and scrambling for my life to get to the beach.
It's not like your average fishing trip. We take a lot more gear than just a pole and bait.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of stuff. But you're sitting around the house. Now, your life is really bad. You've got this cute wife who is just so into fishing, she drags you to the beach out there and says, okay, we got to go. Okay, you got the truck loaded, you get out there. What time is a good time to get there?
We usually like to get there at least an hour before sunset. That way everything, just as the sun's starting to get low, everything is already set up and in the water. Because it takes us almost an hour just to get everything from the truck to baits in the water. Because you got to figure, just our bait alone, we're usually taking, I don't know, close to 100 pounds.
Okay.
Worth of bait.
So you got 100 pounds worth of bait. And what does the bait consist of?
Depending on the time of year, winter time, obviously we're using smaller baits, which are, you know, 3 to 4 pound mullet, cow nose stingray, southern rays. And then summertime, we'll get up into the bigger stuff where we're fishing whole rays, you know, 25, 30-pound baits sometimes.
So you're putting a chunk of bait on that's 25 pounds?
Yeah, I mean, if we have confirmed that the bigger species are kicking around in the water.
All right, now, how do you cast a 25-pound bait? I mean, it just seems like, okay, you know, I walk out to the beach, I'm going to cast my bait out. How do you get a 25-pound chunk of bait out there?
It takes a lot of practice to cast. You need to pick up the leader very gently, carry it over, and drop it in the kayak, and then get in the kayak and paddle it out and drop it out of said kayak.
Yeah.
There's no casting it.
So, I was kind of wondering, all right. But you get in the kayak and you paddle out, and about how far out do you go?
Anywhere from 30 to 300 yards, depending on where you're fishing and how shallow the water is, obviously.
So you're going 100 to 300 feet out?
Yeah, yeah. So, we usually like to fish the troughs.
Okay.
You know.
So, you're on the beach, and you set your rod holder up, use sand spikes, I'm assuming, you pound sand spikes into the ground, you put your rods in it, you disconnect the drag, and you put the bait in a kayak, and you kayak it all the way out there. Now, what happens if it's dark out? Are you still using the kayak, or how do you get the baits out in the dark?
Yeah, absolutely. We still go out in the kayak. Obviously, depending on boat traffic, you want to have a really good headlamp. And then personally, I like to point my headlamp up a little bit because I don't want it shining on the water, because if death is near, I don't even want to know it's coming. I just prefer it just happen.
Now, nice. What happens? It's nighttime. You bring the kayak back to the beach. You pull it up, and you got to, you know, you've had all this stuff there, so you got to clean the kayak and everything. Now, sharks don't usually go in 6, 8, 10 inches of water, but there's a lemon shark that likes you.
Yeah, I don't know where she came from, but 3 trips in a row, I think, this winter. Initially, she snuck up behind me. I was rinsing the kayak out, and I heard a splashing behind me, and I turned around, and she was so shallow she couldn't swim.
She was actually rubbing her belly across the sand to get to you.
She was wallowing at me because I was rinsing all the blood and guts and good stuff out. It was all I can come up with.
And so she liked you a lot, came right up to say hi. Now, did you stick around to say hello and pet her or anything? Or
I honestly thought about grabbing her by the tail and seeing if I could pull her up. But
so that has to be amazing. You're sitting there, you're washing off the kayak, getting the stuff off of you, and you turn around, and there's like a 7-foot lemon shark wallowing across the sand to come up and say hi.
Yeah, I mean, and it was really strange because in wintertime here in Florida, we don't normally see the lemon sharks in the deeper water, and we were fishing as particularly deep, so.
Well, we're going to come back and find out more about Andrew and his sharks and Mallory and her fish and me and Robert with whatever. Remember, Lord, and we will see you in the next segment. Don't go away. There's more exciting stuff to come. Yes, Fishman. Holy fish time. And we're back with Mallory and Andrew, Big Bully Charters, and you got Robert in a chair across from me, and Big Bully Charters. So, Andrew has been out there playing nighttime. It's not kissy face, but I mean, I think she wanted to come up and say hello right behind you, that lemon shark.
Yeah, it sure seemed that way. And everybody thought that I was full of it until the next trip, and then the next trip, and she just kept showing up until finally somebody hooked her.
Yeah, she was there about a week until somebody eventually hooked her, and
yeah, so, yeah, I don't know why I can't get much out of your mic there, Mallory. I'm trying to get that reset, but go ahead. Anyway, so it's not common for lemon sharks to come up and literally come up onto the sand to find out. Did she ever get a chance to bite at you, or what happened after you would see her and get away and she would just leave?
She kind of just checked us out and went from there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she was trying to seek me out and get me. It didn't seem that way. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if she was hunting a certain something, because she would be...
All right, go ahead.
You'd see her 100 yards down the beach, and she'd be doing the same thing, which kind of felt good for me, because everybody thought I was nuts. But
all right, I think I figured out what's going on now. Go ahead, Mallory, say hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I think we've got you there. All right, now, anyway... So nothing really came of that, but you have been bitten by fish out there.
Yes.
What's the fish that bit you? What? This is kind of a strange story.
Well, there was a night last winter, actually January 1st, we had taken a group of people out on charter. They landed 3 out of 5 tarpon from the beach in an hour, and so the next day I'm like, I have to go out. I have to catch tarpon. It would be my first. So we set out. I caught a tarpon at sunset. It was gorgeous, beautiful. As the sun went down, I hooked another one. This one acted a little funny. I didn't even know I had a fish on.
How big was the first one?
The first one was about 120 pounds.
Yeah, it was a big fish.
So how long did it take you to get a 120-pound tarpon?
Well, it hit my shark rig, so only about 10 minutes on my 80 wide.
So, okay, explain your rig. What do you have for a reel?
Well, I have an Avid 80 wide, and right now it's loaded with about 750 yards of 100-pound Suffix.
Braided line or mono?
Mono.
Okay. And so that's like
a stump puller.
Really? Yeah. You could get a truck out of the ditch with this.
Exactly.
Thing.
And this tarpon still pulled full drag for a good 5 minutes. But that was a fun fight. And then as the sun went down, we kept fishing. And I hooked another one, which I thought was a snag. And I'm just reeling it in. And I'm like, don't worry about it, guys. I got it. It's just hung up. And this tarpon literally jumped at the shore and onto the beach. So, I mean, it was still lively. It didn't fight me at all. It was just there. Random tarpon. Here we go.
It jumped up.
For our tarpon here, they are protected. If you want your picture with them, you need to get in your skivvies. You need to get in the water and get your picture.
This is sounding better and better all the time.
Depends on who's getting the picture.
Right, yeah, right. So I get my bathing suit. It's January, so it's still kind of cool for Florida, you know, 70s. So I get in the water, and we're trying to hold on to this fish. She starts getting away. My friend Barry grabs her. Andrew goes out in front of her and tries to stop her and ended up getting bit in his calf.
So you got bit by a tarpon.
Yeah, in my shin.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be a distinction no one else has ever had.
I think he may be the first official tarpon and bite.
She put it on me, too. She got both shins and the one down to the bone. And I thought I had a broken leg. I was scared to look when I got out of the water.
He comes out of the water and he's just like, and we all look at him, we're like, oh my God, what happened to you? And when he tells us it bit him, we were all just like, what?
Yeah, I mean, you guys handle all these sharks, 200, 300, 400, 600 right. pound sharks, whatever. You bring them up, you walk. I mean, we're going to go into more about that whole shark thing. But anyway, the tarpon off the beach is a lot of fun with the right tackle. When
exactly.
you when they hook when they hit the wrong rod,
it's all a disaster. You know,
then it's a kind of a mess. Now you put out what about 4 rods?
Three or four. We usually do one per person. You don't want to put out more than you can handle. We've had situations where we've had 4 out and all of them are going out at once and we're grabbing random people that are walking by. Like, can you reel this up here? There's a fish on. Come on and fight it. I mean, so you really want to do just as many as you can personally control.
Right, because I've seen these idiots out there with 6, 8, 10, 15 yeah. rods and they're standing there by themselves. It's zero chance of landing a fish because you can't do that.
If when you get a big fish on, you, especially on the beach, you're not on a boat. You don't put a key in the beach and chase it. You just have to stand there. And you can run up and down the beach, but that's really as far as you get. So when the fish is going from left to right, it's going over and under all your other rods, and you have to make sure it doesn't get tangled and come off.
So, all right, you get to the beach, you kayak the baits out. Is there any way to kind of determine, because you're going after sharks, big sharks,
right.
tarpon, goliath grouper, and what's a decent size grouper out there?
Well, they're anywhere from 100 to 500 pounds, I would say. I mean, they get up to 1,000 pounds, I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's very rare, but I mean, Mallory has caught the biggest one that I've seen personally, and it was 7 feet 2 inches. Her and my dad caught it, actually.
It ate
2 rods. It had 4 baits in its mouth.
4 baits?
Four baits.
So it just went along, grabbed the bait, went a little further, grabbed another bait,
exactly.
went a little further. Now, how... we don't have a whole lot of time left, but this one fish hit 4 rods, and when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about this. Robert... Now, as they go out and they're doing bit fish, this is actually becoming a really big thing down here in South Florida.
Right.
And we're going to have to get more in-depth into this. We're fishing Franks down here, and you've been with me, what?
16 years.
16 years. This August is 30 years for me here at Fishing Franks. And we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to find out all about this monster fish, 7 foot long, that grabbed 4 baits, and we want to find out how they were able to land them. See you in a minute, Robert.
See you in a minute, Robert.
Okay, well, that was good. I like that. But you got Fish and Frank and Robert and Mallory and Andrew and the whole gang here. We'll see you in just a few minutes. Don't go away. There's more to come. Okay, and this is Fish and Frank. Robert in the chair across from me, Mallory and Andrew, Big Bully Charters. Is it bigbully.com or?
Bigbully.net.
Bigbully.net. You got bigbully.net. If you want to come to Florida, get on the beach and catch fish that are several hundred pounds. In the meantime, we were talking about a 7 foot goliath grouper, which puts them, what would you say, Robert, 500, 600 pounds?
500 in a heartbeat. I mean, that would be easily 500 pounds.
We didn't get a girth measurement on her because it was just so crazy, but...
So, all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and one rod takes off.
Right.
And then the other rod takes off?
Yeah, it ate 2 rods, both had tandem-rigged, I don't know, 4 big mullet, horse mullet, 4-pound mullet, ate 4 4-pound mullet.
Wow.
And it just
one
swam
after
along,
the other,
yeah.
after the other. And while you're sitting there, did one rod go and then the
well,
other?
Well, his dad's went off first, and we're like, okay, we get him hooked up, we get him harnessed in, because this was his first big fish, and we're talking to him. And occasionally, when you have a fish on, like I said, it'll go into your other rod, and it can get tangled up. And we thought that's what had happened. So I got on my rod, and I'm like, well, I'll just reel up with you, and, you know, we'll figure it out. If I have a different fish or if it's the same one. We reel up, and we notice, oh, my God, it's hooked in both corners of the mouth. It ate all of the bait.
So they're so aggressive.
Did you ever have to do reel in the other rods? How did you find out all four rods were taken?
No, it was only two rods. It ate four baits off too. Yeah.
Four baits off.
We had two hook rigs on each.
Those fish are so aggressive that he ate the other baits after he was being fought. He was already hooked and was taking drag, and he decided he was gonna have a snack while he was fighting.
Well, I gotta admit, you know, I'm in a fight, I'm out there in an alley, you know, fighting away with a bunch of guys, I'm going to stop and have a sandwich.
Stuff a Twinkie in your mouth.
Yeah, wait a minute, guys. Hang on. Okay. Yeah, fight again.
If you were that big, you probably could.
Yeah. Yep. That. I think that's the key, is to being big. And at 7 foot, that's a monster fish. So you guys got him up, got pictures.
Right. Keeping him in the water, that's like the biggest thing around here recently, is people are catching these Goliath groupers, and they're taking them up the sand. If you want a picture with your fish, you got to leave it in the water. That's law of Florida.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do anything which can hurt the fish.
Exactly.
If you get a small Goliath grouper under 40 pounds and you hold him properly, right, you can hold him and take a picture. But once he's over 40 pounds or so, you have to leave him in the water the entire time. Right. You're not allowed to take him out of the water, which includes not bringing him up on the beach.
Right, and it's really easy to dehook a Goliath grouper in the shallows. As long as he's in the wash, FWC considers that in the water. And just treat him with respect, you know. Dehook him as fast as you can.
Do they have a lot of big teeth?
Their teeth are almost like sandpaper. I wouldn't recommend sticking your hand in there without a glove on. And even with gloves, they shred them. So be very careful.
Yeah, I'd say more like a cheese grater.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got this big fish. You bring them up the beach. You're taking the hooks out. You do it by hand. So you're putting your hands in there with gloves on. How do you get him on? Do you just kind of just like lift him, pull him back into the water?
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
yeah, well, I like to get him. Even with gloves, I won't put my hands in their mouth because they're so angry that they'll just slap their jaws down. And my biggest fear is one of those swimming away with me.
Yeah, with your hand in its mouth.
Yeah,
they literally could do that. They could literally grab you by the arm and make the right lunge and pull you out.
A fish that size could get over my shoulders if they wanted to.
I mean, they've drowned free divers before spearfishing because they want their fish. So you have to be careful.
I like to get them just under the jaw. Obviously, that's another reason not to take these fish too far out of the water. How are you going to get a 300-400-pound fish with nothing to grab onto back in the water without gaffing it?
They're very slippery.
Yeah, they're slimy.
It is a fish, so
yeah. We just walk it out, and you know, I'll revive it until it's ready to kick off.
Okay, so we've been talking Jewfish. Now we're going to come back next hour, and we are going to go in depth about shark fishing from the beach. What you need, what you use, how to do it, where it comes through. It's all going to be about big sharks, handling them, how you walk this fish, how you're going to take them out and get them alive back in the water. It is crazy stuff, guys. Anything you want to add to the Goliath, Robert? We got a couple seconds.
It's not just the Goliath. I'm completely fascinated with the fact that they can fish for these species all year round when it's usually associated with a summertime only type fishery. That's fascinating to me. I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. The cool part about this is you're doing it right from land. You don't need boats. You do need special equipment.
Yes.
And we're going to go into more about special equipment on the next hour. But we're going to be wrapping this up. We're Fish and Franks, by the way. We're located in right at the top end of Charlotte Harbor, Florida. And we're here in Port Charlotte or Punta Gorda. Depends upon what you want to do. It's fishandfranks.com. No G in Southern Fishing. Our phone number is 941-625-3888 if you want to get a hold of us. And that's 941-625-3888 to get a hold of Fish and Franks. And we'll catch you guys on our next hour, all about big sharks, big shark fishing. It's going to be so cool. I just can't handle it. But you got Fish and Frank guest hosting right now, and Robert in the chair across from me, a resident big fish expert. Robert has been most of the people who do research on huge fish, sharks, whatever have you. Robert's been on the boat and different pretty much all the different TV shows. You don't get to see him because he's their advisor, but he's been there in the background. Pretty much everybody's ever done research down here, everybody's anybody, always contacts Robert first. And we're here talking to Mallory and Andrew. Big Bully Charters, and it's bigbully.net, and they do trips on the beach, and it's really cool. And we had been talking, if you were with us last hour, about the Goliath grouper Jewfish, the 7-footer that took 2 baits, stopped there in the fight. But we're going to get into some sharks this hour. Robert, you're kind of really into the shark fishing thing. What kind of sharks do we have here?
Well, I mean, as far as the larger sharks that we have here, we have the bull sharks, the lemon sharks, and everyone always wants the hammerhead because that's just like the creme de la creme of all the fish.
Probably one of the most, I think, underrated for intelligence of all species.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, I think
they've got to be almost like dolphins.
Yeah. I mean, they're smart. Very smart.
I think as far as sharks goes, I mean, the hierarchy in Florida, the hammerheads are by far the smartest and most elusive of all of them, I guess would be the right words. Everyone thinks about great whites as being the most sought after, dangerous, whatever, but I think as far as thinking capacity and in the pecking order of things, hammerheads got it ruled in our area.
Oh yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on that. Now, what's cool is they've been spotting great whites here in the Gulf, and they've got tagged great whites. They've probably been here forever, but they didn't have the satellite tagging tracks.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm curious about, I got to bet that by, this is 2014, by the season of 2016, they will have figured out the tarpon, and we're going to have great whites in the past. What do you think?
I think it's a good probability. I mean, I think on a colder year, you're going to see some fish move in a lot closer. And all
can
this
you imagine
tagging.
That? Because I don't know if they know the difference between in the boat, out of the boat. I think this is going to change bass fishing crazy.
Oh, yes.
Without a doubt. Getting great whites close to the shore. I know you guys, we only got about a minute left. What do you guys think of the great whites there in the Gulf?
Oh, I think they're awesome. I think they're out there eating the bonita right now.
Yeah, I think they're great, but I think if they come into the pass and start eating the tarpon, I'm retiring. Yeah. There will not be kayaking baits out there. That's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, those are a little...
That kayak looks like a big seal out there,
right?
Doesn't it? Maybe you paint on the bottom of it, not a seal.
Yeah, I don't... I'm out. Count me out.
Well, we're going to be back in just a very short time after this commercial break. We're going to talk to Mallory and Andrew, Big Bully Charters, and that's bigbully.net. And Robert will be back. I'll be back. Oh, hi there. This is Fish and Frank, and we're back. And I'm Fish and Frank. Robert's in the chair across from me, and we've got Mallory and Andrew here, Big Bully Shore Fishing Charters, but it's bigbully.net if you look them up on the internet. And you guys, we want to talk about sharks this segment, big sharks. Now, what do you guys do to prepare to do shark fishing?
Well, with Mallory, there is no going fishing without preparing to go shark fishing, even if we're snook fishing. But obviously some key equipment you're going to want is a tail rope, D-hooker, and just your extra cable leaders would be the only difference.
Yeah, you're using heavy steel leader, heavy steel cable on this. Now, what kind of leaders are you using? What pound test leaders? What kind of rods, reels?
We're using Avid 80 wides during the big fish months and 50 wides during the, you know, our sandbar run.
Okay, what's the difference between a big fish and a regular fish?
Our sandbars are usually, you know, in the 100-200 pound range, and then in springtime you can hook fish over 1,000 pounds. That's not an exaggeration either.
No, I've been out there, and literally I had a shark come up next to my boat. I run a 24-foot flats boat, and his head was at the front of the boat. His tail was at the back. I had been standing next to the gunwale, but found myself standing behind the wheel with the throttle in my hand. I mean, I don't know how I got here. No memory of doing it, but I have seen these fish, and that fish I know was close to 2,000 pounds. That's a big shark.
Yeah.
And I didn't go back out there. If I was going out during the day, I wasn't armed. But if I went out at night, I literally had 2 weapons with me all the time. That was the biggest, scariest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrifying when you, obviously walking around, we know we're not at the top of the food chain, but when you actually get it in the position where...
When you're in the water, we are not the top of the food chain.
No, when you're in a real world situation and there's a good probability that you're going to be taken down a peg,
Yeah. When I go to Publix, I'm at the top. I'm the peak apex predator when I'm in Publix. But when you get out in the water, you go down a couple notches. And there's several things out there. Now, you guys fish for these on a regular basis. What bait do you use for these giant sharks?
The giant sharks, we prefer the reef fish, especially early in the spring, because they're coming out of the, from feeding off the reefs. So, you know, barracuda, a lot of carcasses, grouper, amberjack. You just got to be careful with the regs, because a lot of the fish you're not allowed to use in chunks. And then stingrays. Our hammerheads down here are really key in on stingrays.
All right, Mallory, I want you to tell me about that hammerhead you guys caught.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was amazing.
You guys, you haven't been talking much. I want people to get to know you. This is 5 feet, 100-pound girl who has Tarzan for a husband, and she loves fishing these big sharks. Tell us about the hammerhead.
For 4 years, we've been after this fish. We fished with a team of people, and we've assisted them with catching hammerheads, and they're just really amazing fish. So years and years, we had hoped for ours. We had a week this spring where we were out, what did you say, every single day? At least 4 days a week trying. We know what bait they're keyed in on. We knew where they were. So we were just out there. You know, it takes spending time on the beach. Andrew had lost 4 fish we knew were hammers. One was confirmed by a guy watching the tarpon boats. Andrew had it hooked. It swam up into the pod of boats waiting for the tarpon, and we literally felt the line in the propeller, and it broke off. The next day, we went back out. Andrew put his bait out, and right at sunset, right as that sun hit the water, he hooked up, and we landed a 13-foot seven.
Okay, wait a minute. Tell me about it. Well, you hooked this fish up. This has got to be an interesting moment. When
Well, it was interesting because Andrew's fighting the fish, and then he goes, all of a sudden, the line kind of went slack, and he goes, the fish isn't there. And he puts the rod in the pipe. And I go, Andrew, there's a fish on there. And he walks away because he had lost so many previously that he thought it was gone. So he gets unharnessed, puts the rod in the pipe, and is leaving me. And I'm like, there's a fish on. What are you doing? So I get on the rod with no harness, and I'm reeling in all the slack, and I'm seeing the line raise up out of the water. And I'm like, there's a fish still on here. So I hook him up. He gets in for the rest of the
fight.
Now,
what do you mean hook him up?
I have to get him in the harness and the belt.
Okay, I know for you it's every day and this is normal. What belt, what harness, where did these come from? I mean, is it
a... It's a gimbal belt and harness. The rod goes in the belt, it gimbals in. And
so it goes around your waist.
It's for stand-up fighting fish. It's not for fighting out of a chair or anything like that. When you've got the big rods and big reels, they're heavy and a lot of power on them, you need something to help you and assist.
Otherwise,
that
rod butt's going to go right into your stomach. It is going to be really, really tough to, get that fish is pulling so hard, it's going to drive that rod right into you.
Right. Or take it out of your hands. It allows you some pressure.
Okay, so, and now you said harnesses. Now, you have one that goes around your waist, and you put the end of the rod in there
the
and holding it.
And then the harness actually goes around his back and under his butt to give him the most support he can while he's fighting the fish.
Because you don't want to do it on your shoulders, because these fish are big enough to ruin your back. You can, dislocate a vertebrae or something with that. So the harness has to be low on your lower back and down on your buns where you can fight this. So now there's no way to put this on yourself, really. You put the belt on if somebody else is holding the rod, but once you're holding the rod, you have to practice. It's got to be, you're putting it on him or he's putting it on you.
Right. And by the time I clipped him back into the harness, the fish had already taken half.
Okay, we're going to come back and find out what happens with this 13-foot-plus hammerhead. And this is Fish and Frank here. We got Robert in the chair. We got Big Bully Charters, bigbully.net, or you can go to fishandfranks.com. No G in Southern Fishing, by the way. Fish hard. Okay, we're back. And this is Robert in the chair across from me. We've got Mallory and Andrew. Bigbully.net is where you go to find out more about Mallory and Andrew. And last we heard, you had a 13-foot, 7-inch hammerhead hooked up. And Andrew's arguing about if there's a fish.
Yep.
So what happened?
So I get Andrew harnessed in, and by the time I got his harness on him, he was already, what do you say, about 300 yards left on your spool?
Yeah, the fish had...
How many yards did you start with?
750.
So he's got 400, 450 yards of line out.
And he's still going.
I'm making a beeline for the tarpon boats, which is where our intelligence conversation comes back into it. because they know to make a line right for the boat.
They know how to get themselves free. So Andrew is fighting this fish. It's right at this moment. It's just me, my 7-year-old son, and a guy from
Sweden.
Sweden.
A guy from Sweden. That's a segue. Okay.
Exactly. So I'm carrying.
Crazy Swede.
I'm carrying around the GoPro. I'm trying to focus on Andrew, getting him over and under the other lines. And then I run out into the water as the shark starts to come up, and I see that I can see its tail. Hammerheads have a very distinct tall dorsal, and they have a very distinct tall tail. And I saw the tail fin come up, and I lost my mind. I mean, I'm screaming that it's a hammerhead. I ran out into the water with the GoPro because I wanted that photographic evidence, even if it breaks off.
Folks, you're beginning to understand why I really enjoy being around Mallory. Here she is, 5-foot woman, and she sees a hammerhead hooked up to the line and runs into the water to check it out. Every other normal human is going the other way.
I mean, and we almost had her right there, but she wasn't ready to come in. She came, I had the leader in my hand, which is 33 feet long, and I have it and I'm pulling it, but she wasn't ready to go. She goes back out. There's a ledge where we caught her of a 10-foot, I would say, drop off.
Yeah.
And she was actually like stuck. We couldn't get her into the shallows. Luckily, we had a great group of people fishing out on the beach that night that came over, and I grabbed two random guys like, "Hey, can you help me pull on this leader?" I mean, and that's a cardinal rule of fishing, not to pull on the leader. But at this point, Andrew was so exhausted.
How long had you been on the rod?
Well, previously, I mean, immediately right before this, I'd fought a fish for 20 minutes and lost it, which is why I got mad and I threw the rod in the pipe. I almost threw the rod in the water, I'm not going to lie. Because, and then immediately I had to get right back on. So at this point, I mean, I've been fighting. It's been over an hour. I've been fighting fish. Not this all on this particular fish. But
so how long from the time you grabbed the rod? You were on it about a half an hour at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a major pull. I mean, you've got a 13, almost 14-foot hammerhead hooked up. How many, the drag set down, locked down tight, still pulling line out. This is an 80-wide Avid reel, which is you're just going crazy with. So you finally get it up and it gets hooked on this ledge?
Yeah, and we got four guys to pull her on. To the point where I could get in the water with her. I look at our Swedish friend and I go, "Go get her, Jens." And he goes, "No, that's too deep. I can't do that." And I go, you have to go tail rope. So we go in. I get the tail rope halfway around the fish, and I look up and I see my old fishing partner coming down the beach. And I looked at him and I realized this fish is too big for myself to handle. I'm 5'5". I threw him he goes, "What can I do?" And I go, "Help with anything." And I literally threw him the tail rope, me and him. He got it over, I got it under.
So this fish is still swimming around on the line.
We're in about knee deep water at that point. Knee to waist deep.
I'm knee to waist. Waist deep water, 14-foot hammerhead, tag, I'm out. Sorry. That's ludicrous.
She was lively, and that's our biggest part in this, is we are most concerned about the fish. We want the fish to swim away at the end of this, so we knew that time was of the essence, and if we didn't get her on the beach right now, she was either going to make another run for it, or we could lose her to casualty. So we made the executive decision to get everyone we could on the tail rope. We pulled her up. Immediately, we tagged her for NOAA. Apex now, Predator Program.
Okay, how do you tag a fish?
Well, NOAA does it's an all-volunteer tagging program. It's the Eastern Seaboard of the United States only. And they send you a tag stick and 5 tags to start.
But I mean, literally, how do you tag?
You tag
fish?
Them right next to their dorsal fin on either side.
You walk up. It's a tag.
Do you have something on a stick, or do you?
Yeah.
Do you put it into a fish?
It's essentially a big needle.
Yeah, it's a big dart, like a serrated dart with a streamer number on it for an identification
of
that
fish.
And you just
walk up. It's super simple. It's not complicated. It even comes with instructions for simpler people like me. And you just walk up and you just punch it in there.
So you're holding this big stick, and you get up, and where do you, and you got to rear back and just bang down on the fish to get it to pierce through the skin.
Right.
Because shark skin is
tough. We've bent tag sticks on a number of sharks.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to rear back, essentially. It's just you have to put all your weight into it. And I like to stick them right next to their dorsal fin on their back.
So now that it's got a little plastic tag with a number that identifies that fish.
Right.
And once you write, and then you take that number, write it down,
and send in all that information. And
back.
If she's ever recaptured and someone's nice enough to write down the tag, they send it to NOAA and they send us all the information about how she grew, where she traveled, and how long she's been at bay.
So you get this fish up to the shore. Now, you walked out in knee-waist-deep water and put the rope around the tail of this hammerhead and got a bunch of people to help you get it up to shore. Now, you got to get the hook out, because, I mean, you guys are all about getting the hook out so you don't right. you avoid the blood poisoning and all that of rotting hooks. Who was holding on to the head of this 14-foot hammerhead while you're doing this?
Actually, our old fishing partner, he was holding their hammer up, and it's important for you guys to know that this fish was never in shallower than 2 to 3 feet of water.
You're nuts. Okay. Well, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Just because of the sheer weight of her, and
it would have crushed her.
Yeah, and they're a protected species, and the hammerheads are super fragile, and they have a high casualty rate. That's why we were scrambling so hard, and I ended up hurting myself.
Who grabbed the head of the shark?
And Nino pulled up her head so Andrew could dehook. We tried an arc dehooker at first, which is a boat dehooker. We couldn't get the hook, so Andrew throws it down and uses his hand.
Okay, Andrew's about to stick his hand in the mouth of a 14-foot hammerhead shark, and this is Fish and Frank here, and we're on show for a while. Robert in the chair across from me, Big Bully .net if you want to hear more about these guys, and you can go to fishandfranks.com, no G in Southern Fishing, fishinfranks.com, and we're going to be back, but you got Fish and Frank. Hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and we are back, and Robert in the chair across from me, Mallory and Andrew from Big Bully Shoreline Fishing Charters, I don't know the whole name of it, but you can go to bigbully.net, that's their website, and it's bigbully.net, pretty simple to find, and you're going to find out, you see pictures of them, and figure out what's been going on. But last we heard, you had just tail roped a 13-foot, 7-inch hammerhead, you've got him up on the beach, and you're putting a tag in them so that people can tell, you know, if somebody else catches them, you'll know where it was, how much the shark had grown, how big it is, and all that kind of cool stuff. But now you're holding this, you've put the tag in. Andrew, how do you get the hook out of that fish's mouth?
So Nino was holding her hammer up, controlling a hammer at that size as much as you could. We tried the de-hooker, but the circle hook just wouldn't pop, so, you know, not the brightest idea, but in the heat of the moment, I just got in there and I did it with my hand. I didn't stick my hand in her mouth. She was hooked through the front of her lip, actually. And, you know, with a circle hook, you twist it
right
to pop it. So I twist and popped it. And
so you had your hand in the mouth between the jaws of a 13-foot, 7-inch hammerhead that's several hundred pounds. And if it closed its mouth, pretty much your arm is gone.
Yeah, it's over, Johnny.
Yeah,
I mean, people don't understand. I've seen people that have lost fingers and stuff tripping and falling and having their hands land on shark's teeth just from a trip and fall on a dock, and you've got your hands in its mouth. Okay, so now we know you're nuts, too. Now, Mallory married well, so you're both nuts. All right, so anyway, now what happened? You've got the hook out.
Now it's time to release. Andrew took two fast pictures and grabbed her by her tail. We had Brandon in front, held her hammer so it wouldn't drag across the sand.
So you're holding her face up so her face
up
doesn't
so
drag
her,
in the water.
Right. Andrew had the tail, Nino had the middle, and I mean, even though she was in, I'd say, 3 feet of water, she was still resting on the bottom, so we had to take her and really push her. And I mean, the whole time, she's kicking her tail, and she's moving her head from side to side. She was lively this whole time.
So now, how does this go about? You've got the guy holding the head, and then the middle of the shark, and then the tail. Does the guy at the head, like, run away first?
Yeah, basically. Once it was deep enough that she could get her head afloat, obviously you get him out of there. You don't want him anywhere around.
Yeah.
And then this fish was so big that I was on the tail, and we had Nino on a peck fin, actually, just to keep her righted.
So
she wouldn't flip
the
over.
The first guy lets go, and he starts going back to shore, and then the second guy lets go.
And then he runs, in the video, he runs around the side of her to get out of the way, and Andrew has her by the tail, and then they both actually were working her. You can't pull them backwards. You want to keep them going in a forward motion to move the water through her gills.
Yeah, about waist-deep water, we just started walking her, and, I mean, she kicked off right away. This fish was angry. It actually, when we beached her, or when we first got her up, she turned and went at Mallory.
Run at my feet, I was filming.
She beached herself more than we wanted her because she swam and tried to get Mallory.
She was trying to bite Mallory.
Yeah, she was going right at my feet.
No, so what did you do, Mallory?
I just kept filming.
Pirouettes and jumped backwards?
Well, they had her, so I just kept filming and I kind of stepped back gently and I got great footage.
You're nuts. All right.
Well, so having this many people involved, you can also tell how conservation-minded they are for the animals getting it released.
When you are catching a fish this size, you cannot do it with two people. You need an army. And we are so thankful for everyone on the beach that night that stopped what they were doing, reeled up their fishing poles to come and help us.
And you guys had people from Sweden and everywhere.
We made wonderful friends that evening.
So anyway, you're out there in waist deep water. You're holding this 14-foot hammerhead by the tail, and a shark can easily spin around to bite its tail.
The hammerheads are almost like snake-like when they swim.
Yeah. I never worry about the fish that I have my hands on, and I've had a couple bull sharks spin around try and get me again. It's always
the fish.
I'm worried about one sneaking up behind me because they can sense when another one's in danger.
Once you got your hands on them, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, I don't worry about that fish at all. You always want to have somebody with a big spotlight lighting everything up and somebody watching your back. Because what if my lemon shark buddy comes back?
you got your mind on this 14-foot hammerhead, and the lemon shark comes up and goes, tickle.
And I'm really bad about when I get in the zone and I get so focused on the fish, I have a bad habit of not worrying about myself.
Just to kind of finish that out, you're holding this fish, and you get him out, and you've got this 14-foot hammer, and you've been doing the fight. You've got an hour plus on the rod. You've got the whole releasing thing. Now you've had to pull and drag it out in the water, and you're standing there now. You're by yourself, pretty much. The last person holding. What do? Give it a little push to get it to go away?
You walk with it, and we made sure where we were fishing is super high current, so we had our head facing the current. So that would help wash the water over her gills. And you walk them until they're ready to kick. And then, she kicked off strong.
By kick, you mean
kick her tail, yeah. And you feel them. And if you let, you kind of let them fall. And if they don't start kicking, you put your hand underneath their tail, lift them back up again because they're not ready to go. You want to make sure they are ready to swim off.
And it sounds so simple, but, you've literally got to, you're lifting a 400-pound, 600-pound fish up to get it back off the bottom and then release it. But you were able to do that, and she just kind of swam away, didn't turn around to...
Nope.
No, absolutely not.
She swam off, and she was actually spotted 3 weeks later by another tarpon fisherman. He noticed her cutoff tag and the NOAA, or the cutoff fin and the NOAA tag in her. So it was pretty cool.
So then the beach erupted. I threw up, and we called it a night.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to end this segment for this week. We've been here with Big Bully Charters. You can go to bigbully.net. This is Fish and Frank over here, and Robert in the chair across me, fishandfranks.com, fishinfranks.com, Fish and Franks. Easy, no G. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. We'll be back next week with more.